Rolling.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Got it.
Good afternoon. I call this special meeting the Public Service Commission to order. My name's Julie Fedorchak. It is 2:30 on, I always gotta look, Thursday, October 21st. And it is, we have Commissioner Randy Crispin and Brian Krosh is here, so we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Randy?
No, I do not, thanks.
All right. Commissioner Crosser, so you can make your opening comments and move right into the agenda if you so desire.
Okay, I will just jump right in. First item, I move the commission adopt the order, Northern States Power Company, cost of gas 2021 tariff monthly adjustments, case number PU-21-9.
Second.
Okay, this is related actually to a decision the commission made previously. And we made that decision on June 29th. It's related to the February event when natural gas prices spiked. Gas utilities operating in the state are entitled to recovery on the cost of gas. As I've said many times, they cannot mark up that gas. It's simply a pass-through cost. But due to the February events, gas pricing spiked, leaving Northern States Power with an under-recovered balance of $32.5 million at the time. That cold spell in February, that's what that equated to in terms of higher gas prices, which were up 50 to even 100 times over their normal level. And as mentioned, they are entitled to recovery of those costs, no markup again, but recovery. So we went through, of course, and analyzed the impact to ratepayers and came up with a plan. At the time, it wound up at 15 months. I was hopeful that we could have extended it for a longer period of time. But I'm glad that we can be at least taking another run at this again. We'll see where it lands after the vote. But the current, the proposal that is in front of us now, the order would move the recovery period from a 15-month recovery period to a 24-month recovery period. So it would stretch things out over a longer period of time and extend the true-up period from July 1st of 2021, so this is already underway, through August 31st of 2023. And again, the driving force in all of this, the important component in all this, is to look for ways to mitigate the impact of ratepayers. Here's what we do know. We know that colder than normal temperatures are expected for the upcoming winter. That's going to have an impact on ratepayers, even if gas pricing had remained the same. When we approved this order for a 15-month recovery period at the end of June, at that time, gas prices had roughly doubled compared to the prior year period, which would also be June. So June of 2021 versus June of 2020. So at that point in time when made the decision on the 15-month period, gas prices had doubled. Today, gas prices are running 2.5 to even 3 times higher compared to 1 year ago. And without question, it's going to have a significant impact on ratepayers. Because we're going into the heating season, even if it wasn't going to be colder than normal or winds up not being colder than normal, the impacts are going to be significant to ratepayers. One thing that is worth mentioning, I talked about before, things are really shaping up from a pricing standpoint, they're going to be similar to what they were in that 2008-2007 time frame. So it isn't that gas prices haven't run at this level before, but it's been quite some time. We've experienced relatively low or even extremely low gas prices for the past 10 to 12 years, but that has changed now. So I do support moving it to 24 months, and the reasons would include mitigating the impact to all ratepayers, but especially low-income households and small businesses that are still recovering from the impact of the pandemic. It's been, they've had a rough go of it, to be honest, and I've talked to several businesses that have curtailed hiring because of anticipated higher energy costs this winter. And they're taking the necessary steps to try and get back on track from a profitability standpoint. So I think we have to be cognizant of that. Again, we have to be cognizant of the low-income households that don't qualify for heating assistance. And we have just shy of 13,000 households that did receive heating assistance last winter. The majority that would qualify for heating assistance are already aware that that is an opportunity they can take advantage of and get some financial assistance to help mitigate their household bills. I'm sure as well that there's still some out there, so for those, I would encourage them to reach out to the appropriate entities and see what type of help they would get. But then you get the class of ratepayer that they're not in high-income households. They're still on the lower end of the scale, but they don't qualify for heating assistance. So I think it's important for them, and it's important for all ratepayers as well. Now, I know they're stretching it out does create some risk in that we don't know what future gas prices will be. However, I look at weighing out what we know versus what we don't know and basing the decision supporting moving to a 24-month period. I would classify it as basing a decision on facts, not fear. The one thing we know, the oil and gas industry is still working to bring rigs back online that were shut down during the pandemic. So that has been a significant factor. Another factor in terms of what is causing the supply shortage is demand in Asia and Europe. LNG demand is extremely high, and the U.S. is exporting more gas right now to those countries, those regions, than we were a year ago. I think that is also likely to mitigate in the future as, again, more rigs come back online. So we have less gas right now in storage than we did a year ago. We're not positioned as well going into this winter heating season. And I say that from a national perspective, but that's having an influence on price as well. And inflationary factors are really creating headwinds for the oil and gas industry. And the reason I bring oil into the mix, even though we're talking about natural gas pricing, a lot of the significant portion of the gas that is produced and the increased production that we've seen in the U.S. over the past 15 to 20 years is because of oil drilling. And then the gas isn't associated. It's called associated gas at the wellhead, but it's not tied directly it's not the target, if you will. Oil is the target, but it's a very nice byproduct of oil drilling, and that has really increased supply. So I support this. Again, I have concerns with how things are shaping up for the upcoming heating season. And yes, it does extend it, but one thing I'll point out, when we get to not this winter, but the following winter by extending the recovery period, roughly three quarters of the undercollected balance from this past February will be have been satisfied by ratepayers, will have been covered. So we're going to be dealing with a much smaller number in terms of what is the risk. And I think we have mechanisms in place if needed, if it came to that, to mitigate those risks. So I'm hopeful for support on this. We're dealing with some unknowns. There's no doubt about that, but just based on what we do know and what I think will be a better landscape on the drilling front as we move over the next 12 months, that I do believe there will be improvements in that. I think it's a positive move for ratepayers, and again, something that I hope will pass.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Go ahead, Brett.
So first let me say that I seconded the motion, and I am not viewing this the same way as you. I don't want you to feel like what you said caused me to change my mind since I had seconded the motion. I seconded the motion because I wanted you to have the chance to present your case. And you made it a very compelling and persuasive case, so thank you for that. But I respectfully view this differently. We've talked a lot over the course of the summer leading up, both the original decision we made and now, about gas price history and the fact, and actually Commissioner Crash, you pointed out some information that I've taken down. I don't have it with me, but gas prices over the years, and how there have been actually times when they were much higher than they are now, and they fluctuate. And we all know that gas is a very volatilely priced commodity. If you look one decade to the next, it bounces all over the place. But one thing that is new is the extreme short-term volatility. While the average price month to month or year to year has jumped around, I don't believe ever before did we see the short-term, moment-by-moment gas prices per decatherm spike like they did last winter. And in my mind, there's one reason for, well, probably two reasons for that. One is the fact that, and really they kind of are one because they go back to the same thing, and that is the carbon and social governance policies of corporate America and a lot of our political world. We have shifted very much of our electric transmission. I know this is a gas case, but the electric transmission system, the electric generation system in the United States has shifted largely to renewables. And as part of that shift, until China perfects batteries that they can hold over our heads that we can use for storage, we have no other choice but to use natural gas as a peaker, because you can't shift coal and nuclear up and down enough to be the perfect peaking plant for all this wind and solar. So that being said, now when we get a real cold front over a large part of the country and it doesn't happen to be windy enough, the electric generation system is competing with the home heating system for the same decatherm of gas. And sometimes it's the same parent company that owns both that are competing. Now, when I said it's kind of two cases, but they go back into one, which is the carbon and social governance policies. The other part of it is, instead of allowing that growth to occur, which it could, because we can produce the natural gas, but our politicians and our corporations have not allowed the pipeline build out to get that gas to all the generators and all the homes and all the businesses at the same time in the winter. So we're back to that competition. And most of the country has plans to continue. There are coal and nuclear plants being shut down frequently and regularly for the next years, about as far out as we can see. And so, yes, you can always hope that there will be specific winters, and there will be specific winters when we don't hit a pretty cold patch like we did last winter. By the way, it was not unprecedented, but it was pretty cold, over a pretty large part of the country, and it wasn't very windy. And so there will be winters where we don't hit a patch like that, but the odds of hitting one on any given winter is going up every single year that we continue to rely more on renewables and gas peaking without building out the natural gas pipeline system. So I find it enticing to want to push the bills out further to avoid the spike. However, I find it too risky. Not only risky to the traditional customer that we think of that was here yesterday and is here today and is going to be there tomorrow, for them, the fact that we could hit another year if cost of gas for XL natural gas North Dakota share was $32 million primarily because of that event last winter. Like I said, that wasn't an unprecedented cold front, and we've had more plants shut down since then. It could be more next winter, and then we have this going through 2023 into the summer of 2023 plus another one. But then there's also another factor here. I recognize that we can't just do this overnight and get the exact same list of customers paying for the costs as what we had previously. There has to be some extension of time, and historically we've done that over a year. Because of this large case, we have this one over a little more than a year even to engage two summers on each end of the year. But you start getting out 2 years and you have a more and more significant number of customers who weren't even part of the equation when you get out into 2023 that weren't customers there in 2021. And yet they're having to pay for the cost of that gas. And in fact, they may have lived in a town in western North Dakota where by the time they moved to eastern North Dakota, they've already paid the cost of gas for their gas company, and now they're going over and paying the cost of gas for a different gas company. And so I just think cost of gas cases need to be restrained to a lesser amount of time. I think that the year that has always been used is appropriate in a fairly extreme case like this. I was supportive of going longer than the year, but I do not think that we're making the best decision for all of our customers by extending it longer than that.
Okay, thank you, Randy. So from my perspective, you both make compelling arguments. Randy, your final argument was probably the one I think is most compelling, and that is the trying to confine the cost increases to the ratepayers that actually benefited from the higher cost gas back in February. But that said, so we have the first gas rate increase in 15 years coming in, affecting customers. And then we have gas prices higher than they've been in 10 years, affecting customers. And then we have this $32 million of additional costs from the extreme weather event in February layering on top of those other issues. And to me, it's like the third strike. It's too much. It's too much for ratepayers to have all at one time to weather, and we have a tool here to help flatten that shock. And I think it's very appropriate to use it at this time, so I'm going to be supporting this motion. it's not without risk, that's the nature of this job. There's risks of saddling customers with all three of these rate impacts at one time, which creates a very significant spike on their bills this winter when we know that the cost of gas is going to be higher. I am hopeful that there are going to be solutions longer term on the production side as well. I join Commissioner Crosius in having some confidence in the innovation of the industry and hopefully the understanding among policymakers that we need this gas as a transition fuel. And so I am going to support this order. I think it's the best approach for customers going into a volatile season.
Is there any further discussion?
I'll just add one thing for clarity. I hope I didn't say anything that indicated a lack of confidence in the ability of our gas industry to produce the gas, because I am very confident in their ability to produce gas and keep it cheap. My concern is the fact that our corporate and political classes will not build out the infrastructure to get that gas where it's needed when it's cold.
That reminds me, Randy, one of the key points of the rate case that drove the company to bring it forward, as I understand it, is the expansion plan to create more supply routes into the Fargo market, which helps improve the reliability of the gas delivery system to that area, which is a really important investment and is going to be beneficial for those customers long term. So while it's not, you know, it's nobody ever sees to likes to see an increase in their rates, and after 15 years you get kind of comfortable with what you're paying, but that is an important new investment that the company is seeking to recover through this rate case, and that shouldn't be lost either in this whole discussion. Does anyone care for a roll call vote? I think there'll be a roll call vote. I mean, it'll be obvious.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Motion is approved.
Okay, next on my list, and it's the last one, I move the commission adopt the order submitting rules to Attorney General for an opinion as to legality in Public Service Commission standards of service, electric, rulemaking, PSC case number PU-21-360.
Second.
And this is to amend section 69-09-02-06, continuity of service. On August 18th of 2021, the North Dakota Public Service Commission issued a formal notice of intent to adopt and amend administrative rules and notice of public hearing and an abbreviated notice of intent to adopt and amend administrative rules and notice of public hearing, proposing to create a proposed amendment to Article 69-09 -02 of the North Dakota Administrative Code. Commission advocacy staff filed statements regarding the required regulatory analysis. And that shouldn't that be 2021?
August 18th of 2021.
So it says 2020. So. Please note that would be changed to 2021. Commission staff filed statements regarding the required regulatory analysis, small entity analysis, and takings assessment for the captioned cases. And also on that date, the commission forwarded the notices to the North Dakota Newspaper Association for publication. So we did that in advance of the hearing. It was published by those publishing entities. On September 22nd of 2021, the commission held the public hearing as noticed, beginning at 1:30 p.m., and we allowed a comment period until October 4th of 2021, which where we did receive and consider data views. Some were written, some were oral comments concerning the proposed rulemaking as a part of the record. In this case, number PU-21-360, the proposed amendment to Article 69-09-02, which is standards of service for electric, The purpose of the proposed amendment, Article 6909-02, is to address reporting requirements and criteria for a public utility's reliable service obligation pursuant to the passage of Senate Bill 2313 during this past legislative session. So, in effect, we were directed by the legislature as a part of that bill to develop some specifics related to reliability and continuity of service. We have done that in terms of putting those together. And again, as mentioned, they will now go before the Attorney General, and we will get an opinion and then move through the process as a part of this. So this was triggered by, again, you know, similar to the cost of gas. I shouldn't say similar, but during the February cold weather event that gripped the nation, North Dakota customers were impacted. Some electric customers were impacted. There were rolling blackouts that occurred during that time period, lasting approximately 90 minutes in duration, in length. And that was not on the investor-owned utility side, but for the cooperatives that were receiving a portion of their power from WAPA. SPP did reach out, asked WAPA to curtail load. WAPA did. There were definitely some communication challenges during that period. But the bottom line is that there were reliability issues without question, as indicated by, or as demonstrated by the rolling blackouts that, again, some consumers and households and businesses, users certainly experienced. So, there are a host of acronyms. So as exciting as it would be for me to go through the dozens and dozens listed, I am not going to. But the gist of the matter is that we have criteria in place, again, as directed by the legislature, to measure reliability of service. And if there is an issue related to that, we do have the ability, which we did before, but this provides some clarity in the process, the ability to levy a fine against that utility if deemed necessary. So, to be honest, this is something that Chair Fedorchuk, you were heavily involved with, and I think we're where we need to be at this point in time. I know staff spent a lot of time on it. So thank you for that, and I'll defer to anyone else who may want to make comments related to it.
I do not have any comments.
Okay. Well, I think Brian summarized it really well, and I think it's just a positive step to have the utilities reporting to us on an annual basis their metrics as it relates to these reliability standards. And really, this just takes what the legislature passed. They directed us to develop rules to help clarify what we're looking for, and we've had a nice give and take with the industry on this subject. They provide a lot of input on their initial staff proposal. We've adjusted it based on that input, and I think that this is a great starting point, and we'll probably adjust it as we move forward and get more familiar with tracking this kind of data on an annual basis.
Yeah, I would like to add one more thing, and it's something we've all recognized in terms of commissioners and staff, but I think it's important to note that while there were rolling blackouts that occurred in February in North Dakota, and again, I did specify that it was for co-op customers in particular, I think it's important to recognize that the reliability or the level of reliability in the state is among the best in the nation. North Dakota has one of the lowest numbers in terms of minutes of outage on an annual basis in the country. So our providers are doing an excellent job in making sure that the lights stay on each and every day, 24/7. And I think it's important to recognize them for the work they've done to achieve one of the best rankings in the country, because they do an exceptional job in that regard, and arguably in some of the toughest conditions when you look at the weather patterns in this part of the world, the country. It can be very brutal at certain times, and with high winds, freezing rain, it's a challenging environment to maintain an electric grid, an electric system, and the distance between customers is much greater as well, which actually increases the risk of outage. So they do a really, really good job, and I look at this piece of legislation and the directive as being proactive in nature and not necessarily reactive to an event that was beyond the utility's control in February. So I wouldn't want anyone listening to get the wrong impression that we have a reliability issue. This is to ensure that we don't moving forward.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. That concludes our agenda, and we have no announcements, so we are adjourned and we'll be able to answer questions. Do we have any on the phone, Matt? In the media? We'll take Dave first, but just curious.